I'm Michigan Radio's Gabriella Emanuel. Imagine a place where kids are held down in chairs with straps and closets are used to isolate disruptive students. This might sound like the stuff of movies or maybe even horror films, but it happens in many Michigan schools and it's entirely legal, but maybe not for long. A state task force is looking into the use of restraint and seclusion in special ed classrooms. Nicole Plater stands by the front door of her grayish-blue mobile home in Wixom, a bit west of Detroit. It's mid-afternoon, and she's watching for her son's school bus. Andy's 11, and he's just started at a new school.
He's been, not getting injured at the new school, and I'm so excited, and he's actually happy there.
Andy has autism and is nonverbal, but as he jumps off the bus, he's kind of humming a little tune.
Hi, Andy. Andy, say hi.
Bye.
Plater says Andy didn't always look happy when he got off the bus. Before he switched schools, Andy'd often come home with injuries.
I mean, he would come home with marks on his arm, like handprint marks on his arm. And then he has come home with his face all torn up on the side.
One day it was a black eye, another day a missing tooth. Andy didn't have the words to say what had happened, and the school told Plater nothing was wrong and that Andy was doing it to himself. At a loss of what to do, Plater started documenting the injuries. She has a binder full of injury pictures and doctor's notes, plus 50 gigabytes of video. She'd record Andy every morning before getting on the bus to prove he wasn't injured, and then as soon as he got home.
Off the bus, we're going to check you for bruises. It was horrible that I had to do that, but I had to do that for a long time.
For 4 years, until Plater eventually found that her son was being physically restrained by his teachers. They were using a chair with straps to hold him down.
A few times a day, every single day. That's not okay. It's not okay.
The district, Huron Valley Schools, declined to comment, but this is legal.
Right now, in Michigan anyway, it's semi-anarchy.
Calvin Luker is the lawyer who worked with Nicole Plater. For 25 years, he's represented people with disabilities. He says in some settings, there are laws to regulate restraint and seclusion.
Psychiatric facilities, nursing homes, large foster homes. When you go to the hospital, you have laws, rules, policies, regulations.
But in schools in Michigan, there are no rules. Unlike some other states, Michigan doesn't require schools to report when a student is restrained or secluded. They don't even have to tell the parents.
They may never know.
This makes it hard to gauge how often it happens, but national statistics for a recent school year suggest 250,000 students are restrained or secluded, often African-American kids, and mostly in special ed classrooms.
Restraints we probably did maybe once every couple weeks.
Mary Bowens taught special ed for 30 years. She's now president of the Grand Rapids Education Association. She feels like restraint and seclusion are necessary for safety and valuable for teaching self-control.
It's a tool to be used in certain circumstances.
Bowens says this should never be used as punishment or without training. But when the teacher knows the student, she says a restraint hold could be compared with a big hug.
You could tell when they started to relax. You could hum, you could rock, you could do a lot of things.
Bowen says lawmakers don't need to regulate this.
I think they need to let teachers do their job.
Would it be a problem if they make it illegal or eliminate a teacher's ability to restrain?
I think it'd be a problem. I think there'd be a lot more people getting hurt, a lot more property damage.
Bowen sits on the state task force that's looking into the use of restraints in special ed classrooms. It's expected to make policy recommendations by the end of the year. I'm Gabriella Emanuel.